The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. And I am Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for listening. I think that what I just said is going to be the best I sound this whole episode. So forgive me, but the longer I sit here and talk, the more like snot is draining out of my body and I cannot control it.
Dude, it's just that time of the year.
It's officially getting colder here in Texas. Like I got my Uggs out for the first time this morning.
Oh my God. What is it? Like 60? Yeah.
It's a nice brisk 60 degrees.
Whatever, yes.
And
dude.
So I know. I'm actually thinking like November is officially my favorite month in Texas now. Because it has just been like that kind of like in the mornings it's cold. I mean, there was a little bit of like frozen material on my car this morning.
Frozen material.
Nothing that like the windshields couldn't take off. But it does have that like brisk chill to it. And all of the windows in our house are open. So our house is kind of cold. But it'll be 70 this afternoon and it's sunny and it's just beautiful.
You're ridiculous. But you don't need Uggs, okay? I need Uggs.
I know. I totally don't. But my nose is like, I have a cold. Put your Uggs on. It's the only time you can.
On Monday, I walked the kids to school because we literally live a block and a half from the school. Okay? It's a three-minute walk, more or less.
Yeah, that's us too.
And I walked them over and I started to walk back and I started feeling extreme pain on my nose and my ears. And I'm like, oh shit, it's really cold. And I like grabbed my phone. I'm like, hey, you know, what time is it? I asked Siri, or not, what? I said, hey Siri, what's the weather? It was 23 degrees. I was like, what the? This is not okay. I need to get to Cali stat. Okay.
That's happening.
So you're cold.
I bet you get sick when you're in California because it's going to be so beautiful and you're used to such highs and lows out on the East Coast. So
I know. It doesn't matter. I mean, we all adapt to where we're living. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But it was like FU cold. That's what we call it. Cold. Like when you walk out of your door and it just smacks you in the face and tells you to go back in. It's not okay. Hey, so before we go into this really great episode, that this is a learning one, guys. This is like one that you're gonna want to like maybe listen to again and you know make notes. But I looked this morning at iTunes and we have a new review.
We need music for this. We need like
I know I gotta find like a little.
I feel happy, like something that harkens to Pharrell. I know we can't license him, but like because it makes you so giddy and like just a little teacup of bliss over there every time you read one of these. So. Whoever's posting these reviews, just know that you're making our day, specifically Michelle's day.
Yeah, I freaking love it. Okay, I'm going to read it. It was from 2 days ago. This is a fresh one. Subject is, this is the best wedding planning podcast I have found. And best is in all caps. She's just screaming it out. 5 stars. Thank you. Oh, her... She's called frustrated, lots of ones. All right. Here's what it says. These two have been a lifesaver during my wedding planning process. Their episodes are so fun and topical and have given me tons of great ideas and solace during the ups and downs of wedding planning. I found this podcast about a month into being engaged and have since listened to every single episode and continue to listen as new episodes come out. They seem to have an answer for almost everything, and if you can't find what they're looking for, just ask them. I did, and they responded to my question quickly and so thoroughly. I am very grateful to them and would absolutely recommend this podcast to anyone involved in planning a wedding.
What? Wow, that brings a tear. It brings a tear to my eye. That's so nice.
I think I know who this is.
I feel like it's, I'm guessing it's greenery, uh-huh. Right?
Yeah, I think
potted plants.
Potted plants, I think.
She's so sweet. Sweetheart. What an easy question that was for us to attack, because we love extremely specific questions like that, because while we can come up with ideas for episodes all day long, it's the specific kind of random, almost, maybe we haven't actually dealt with this 100 times, but we definitely have ideas on how to deal with it. And we hope we are helpful. And it sounds like we were. And I also love that she just got a kick out of us answering it on air, as it is, when we talked about it on the podcast. And then I saw a picture on Instagram like a day later, remember, with all that greenery up at the altar.
Oh,
and
yes.
I tagged you and I was like, see this. I hope she saw that. Like, this is greenery done well. And it was in a big venue. I've worked there before. It's brick venue in Fort Worth. So like a big, open, almost warehouse feel. And they did not put this greenery, these plants everywhere, but they did utilize them at the altar in this like really lush, cool, like jungly greenhouse way. So check that out wherever you are. If you're listening,
thank you so much for taking the time to log on and, you know, send that review. And those of you, I've seen, like, there's people who are rating us without sending reviews, and we appreciate that too. We know you're doing that. We're just happy that we're like helping people here, and like people are listening, and that. And yes, those specific questions are what we friggin' live for, right? Because it's easy to do a lot of stuff because we've done it so many times. But when somebody pinpoints and gets specific and kind of throws you for a loop for a second and makes your brain work even harder, and you're like, okay, here's what we can do. Just love it. Just love it. It's so fun. Okay. I'm giddy.
Yes. Thank you so much for sending that. And for all of you listening, we do just love to hear from you in any way across any social media, because it makes us feel like we're not just doing this in a vacuum for ourselves. And it reminds us that we have listeners in Australia and Iceland and England
and Virginia
and Cincinnati. Yeah. So keep them coming. YTB.
Yeah. And again, specifically, the iTunes reviews help get the word out. Like, those 5 stars and those reviews, you know, help it pop up on other people's searches that are getting married, you know, that need some help. So anyway, okay. All right. Done with that. Let's get down to business.
Yes. Because we're going to put on our business frame. Socks.
Put on your business Uggs. Which, by the way, my Uggs are so ugly and old that my husband calls them my fugs.
Yeah.
Like, fugly. He hates them. But listen, when I'm walking the kids to school and I'm freezing, or if I'm going to step into a yoga class and it's cold outside, like, I need my fugs.
All husbands hate Uggs. But I did get Lance a pair of Ugg slippers for Christmas a couple years ago.
Ooh.
Like, just slippers that he's not to wear out of the house. And he loves them. And he sort of, like, he has to embrace that he loves them. And it's taken down his Ugg criticism a little bit, because he knows how comfortable they are. So, anyways.
Pretty brilliant. Okay. All right.
Today's episode is, we're going to zoom in on a part of your wedding day timeline. And I think it's a part that is oft forgotten or given less attention than it needs until a week before a wedding. And then somebody says, wait, how are we going to do all of that stuff that happens before the ceremony begins or before the guests arrive? So we're going to zoom in on 2 specific parts of your timeline, the setup and the breakdown. That's what we call it in the biz, setup and breakdown. And how much time you should have dedicated to those depends on a lot of factors. So Michelle and I have both pulled a wedding that we've done recently, and we pulled 2 very different weddings at 2 very different types of venues with different rules, so that we can kind of go back and forth about what you might encounter when you're dealing with how many hours specifically you have to load in and set up. That includes everything that you, the bride or groom, are going to bring, but also when your vendors are allowed, permitted to arrive at the venue, and what order things typically go in terms of like who gets there first, what's happening when the caterers are doing this, what is the DJ doing, you know, when are the chairs being set up, all of that. So that's what we're going to talk about. And then we'll round it out with the breakdown, which is usually not as complicated as the setup, but still, you know, deserves some time and thought put into the plan, basically.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot.
It's never too early to be working on your timeline. Even if you just got engaged 2 months ago, I'd say once you have a venue, you know, signed and chosen and that set, you can start to at least temporarily put in pieces of the puzzle of the timeline, and you might have to move them around later, but you can start to get a good skeleton idea of things.
Well, when you book your venue, let's say you've already booked it, go look at your contract, you know, and look at, because a lot of the contracts will say you have from 6 p.m. till, you know, 11 p.m. And now, is that, you know, including my setup time? And then what time does everything have to be out? And so you need to look at that before you get all these grand ideas of what visually you want happening at the wedding.
Because there's guests out and then there's vendors out. And there has to be, that cannot be at the same time.
No.
And also, before you sign a contract and before you fall head over heels in love with a venue, make sure you read that specific, I mean, read all of your contracts, but definitely pay careful attention to that specific part of the contract. It's probably its own item, timing, you know, rental time. And if it says for this price, you get 6 hours, it can be and has been successfully, in my experience, used as a little bit of a negotiating tool that you might be able to ask for an additional hour. Can you throw in an additional hour if we're not going to be using your, you know, rental chairs or some? There's ways to maybe get an additional hour, and there's certainly ways to pay for additional hours. And that might be worth your time, especially if you plan on getting ready at the venue. So lots of moving pieces.
And I want to throw in, if you haven't listened to our 3-part series on the wedding day schedule, go back and listen to that. We talk about all sorts of things having to do with timing. Obviously, we're zooming in here on before and after the event. But those are episodes 17, 18, and 20. For some reason, I think we had to throw Maria Chang in there. We were so excited about her episode. But 17, 18, and 20 are specific how-tos about your wedding day schedule.
Yeah. Okay. So let's define what setup time is. And then, okay, mm-hmm. so that means we're talking about from the second the first person from your group can arrive, whether that's your wedding planner or you, the bride, or your mom, the minute the doors open, essentially, or the rental period starts, up until when prelude music begins, which is when we, Michelle and I, say that's like guest arrival time.
Yeah, the doors open to the guests.
Yes. So that's what we're talking about with setup time. So Michelle, why don't you talk about what your venue had in place for that period of time and how you had to work with that?
So I have a venue I work at. It's a restaurant in San Francisco. I work there a lot. And it's very specific because they open for lunch, they have brunch, right? They're a very popular restaurant with incredible food. But when you do a buyout to have your wedding there, your start time for the time the doors open to your guests is 6 p.m., no earlier than 6. That means that your ceremony starts at 6:30. And they specifically say that your start time is 6. Make sure your invitations say 6:30, right? Because you always want to give that half hour of time for as guests are arriving. Okay. What time then, if your doors open at 6 to your guests, can you start setup? What time can the first vendor arrive to start setting up? 4 o'clock.
Yowza.
So this is a very tight setup window at this venue. And it's different than like a hotel that has a ballroom and that ballroom is specifically for events, yeah. right? Unless you want to pay twice the minimum F&B to buy out the restaurant for the entire day, you have a 2-hour block of time to set up for your wedding. And so that means, and here's the deal. At 4 o'clock, not only are the vendors coming in to start prepping, like your florist, your rental delivery, all of that, but guess what? 4 o'clock is also the time that the restaurant staff is now setting up for your wedding. So they are breaking down from general service,
putting tables together
to the public. Uh-huh. And reconfiguring, maybe taking tables away and putting in the chairs for the ceremony. While your vendors are arriving to set up, your florist is arriving to set up, your chairs, your shivari chairs that you rented are arriving, your lighting is arriving, everything is arriving. And this venue doesn't have a dressing room for the bride or groom, right? So in the meantime, my clients are off-site and they're getting ready or doing their pre-ceremony photos as everything is happening to get ready for
right.
the wedding.
For 2 hours.
2 hours, which let me tell you people, 2 hours is not a lot of time. I mean, it is like boom, 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 rush, go. And so things have to be timed very strategically. You know, for example, if the linens are not on the tables yet, then the florist cannot put the centerpieces on the tables, right? The florist has to wait. So maybe the florist starts somewhere else. The florist starts creating, you know, the quote unquote altar floral arrangements for the ceremony space. Or if you have some arrangements for the bathrooms or for the entryway, they'll start there. But the florist right. cannot adorn your guest tables until those linens are down.
And the cake baker might have an hour window, and if she gets there and the cake table isn't set and the room is a mess, she can't leave and usually until she physically puts the cake down on a table, which would have to have a linen, which would have to be in the right place.
Absolutely right. And if the florist is bringing the florals for the cake, then the cake baker has to arrive and have that cake set out at the same time that the florist is still there to put the florals on the cake or give the baker the florals for the baker to put the florals on the cake. So it has to be very strategic, this timing. Okay, so now tell me about the venue that you are looking at, the timeline from one that you've done that you have more time.
So it's sort of the opposite situation. It's a dedicated event venue. It's like a vineyard venue where couples rent the whole thing. They are open for like tastings and visiting and stuff like that, but they close every weekday at 5, and when they have a wedding, they close at 3 on the weekends, but it's in a different part of the venue. So there can still be like guests wine tasting that aren't a part of the wedding at this venue while your rental is happening on a different side. And it doesn't, you know, the two kind of never really meet. So basically, for the price that you pay for this venue, you get 12 hours of rental time. And they don't really care how you use that. You have certain, like, you have the vineyard for your ceremony for a total of an hour and a half. And it can be anywhere in that. And then you have the, you know, the room that you're going to use for the dinner and the lawn. So those three areas, you have to tell them when you're planning on using those. But as a rental, you have 12 hours, meaning they expect their brides and grooms and their couples to get ready there. And they have dedicated suites for getting ready. And they expect that photographers might come a little early to take photos of the venue and to also do, you know, pre-ceremony pictures kind of out and about. And they don't give you like free rein for 12 hours, and there's certainly like places you're not supposed to go and things like that, and specific ways that vendors are supposed to enter versus guests are supposed to enter. But as a planner, when I'm looking at a full day and I'm trying to put all these pieces together, 12 hours is awesome. Because mm-hmm. we usually dedicate, let's say, 6 hours total to the wedding itself, from prelude to final goodbye. Mm-hmm. 5 to 6 hours, really.
Yep.
And then, so you have those other 6 hours to, if it's a 12-hour rental, to figure out getting ready and also set up. So for me, I had, I was not the first person to arrive at this venue because I did not have a 12-hour contract with these brides. They hired me, I believe, for 8 hours. So on my timeline, I have that the bridal team is what these two brides were calling their, like, moms and their best friends who were coming to help load in all of their items, including, you know, their hair and their makeup and their dresses and all that stuff into these two suites. But also mm-hmm. she had done, like, little succulent favors, and they had done a lot of their own decor. So they were bringing that all in, and they arrived at 11 a.m., meaning that we have 12 hours from 11 a.m. And I then showed up at 1. And when I...
Wait, who arrived at 11?
The, like, bridal team, basically. Like, the brides...
The hair and makeup?
No, the two brides, they were pretty hands-on. They came with their moms, and they were, like, wearing jeans.
Oh,
and they just,
okay,
like, unloaded their cars. And then when I came at 1, they were starting hair and makeup, which was going to be a little bit longer because one of these brides was a makeup artist and was doing all the women in the group and mm-hmm, then herself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
But it was nice because they had it the whole
day. They're very hands-on.
Yeah, but the whole day feels like, oh, we have so much time. I mean, it's the opposite
right.
of this restaurant that you worked at, because it's almost too much time. Like, oh, we're all just sitting yeah. around. And it felt kind of luxurious. And it was what they wanted for their day. But when I showed up at 1, people had already been there for 2 hours. And I walked into the hall where the reception was, and there were just a bunch of boxes on top of bare tables. And then from 1 to 3, I was the one putting the linens on the tables because I had brought those, and putting all of their decor. The florist came, the cake baker came, the caterer came, the DJ came. So slowly.
Between 1 and 3.
Yes, between 1 and 3.
2 hours.
And then the ceremony didn't start until 5. So, you know.
Oh, my God.
Everybody had plenty of time. And in this case, my vendors, you know, like, I think the DJ said he was going to be there at 4, which is enough time as he didn't have a ceremony set up. But he just, like, sauntered in at 3. You know, and it was one of those, like, kind of nice, like, oh, hey, you're here early. And everybody just, there was no rush and no stress from my end, but also for these two brides, because there was so much time. And then once the wedding got started, I apologize, it was 5:30 that guests were arriving. And they did plenty of photos. They did big group photos with the group after the ceremony. And then they did a nice dinner and some dancing, cake cutting, and a final, like, sparkler farewell. And every guest was out by 10. And then I had from 10 to 11 with the catering staff to do a breakdown. And it was like easy peasy. We're all out by 11.
So, okay, interesting. So they arrived at 11 a.m. They literally had a leisurely 6 hours.
Yeah, and they had lunch.
To get prepped.
Yeah.
And they parked there. They were living there. They made that their headquarters.
Yes. In fact, the hardest thing to clean up at the end of the night, the thing that took the most time and probably the only time of that whole day that I was a little bit panicked that we weren't going to make it out by 11, was the bridal suites. And it's because they had kind of camped out there all day. So there was just stuff everywhere.
But they didn't sleep. There were no sleeping rooms on site.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay, because it sounds similar to what we do when we do hotels, right? Because the couple is usually staying there. And, you know, they've got their headquarters there and they've got all their stuff there. Now, when you said they arrived at 11 and brought all the stuff, right? That's another point with this venue that I work at a lot, is that there's no dressing room. There's no headquarters.
Yeah,
so
you're not going to want to bring a lot of stuff because you have no place to put it all.
Well, you can't. I mean, you have no. So a lot of times it depends on how busy they are that weekend, depending on if they have two weddings that weekend. they're not going to have space to store your stuff for your Sunday wedding on Friday, right? Because they've got Saturday's wedding stuff there.
And they don't want to be liable and things get broken and mixed up.
Stuff can get stolen. They want to make sure it's locked up. They want to make sure somebody's there to receive it and they take inventory of it. But then again, you know, you're getting ready on your wedding day and maybe you're doing photos or you're having breakfast or you're getting hair and makeup done. You don't have the time to just go drop off the escort cards and the DVD slideshow or the champagne flutes or the family photos. There's a lot of things that you bring, those tangible items that you need to get to the venue, that if you don't have 6 hours before start time, you have to get them there the day before or 2 days before. So there's so many things to think about here. So how do we take kind of inventory of this and how do we figure out how much time you need to set up?
Yes, because we have established that you can do it in 2 hours and it's a lot easier to do it in 5 or 6 hours. But depending on what your circumstances are for your venue and whether it's an on-site kitchen and whether you're using on-site rentals or bringing in, you know, a bunch of stuff, so many variables, but we can attack and sort of talk about all of the things that we as planners set up and do during that. Let's say, let's cut it in the middle and say 3 hours before guests arrive. So if you don't have a planner, you have to zoom in on that time and really think about it.
Yes. So you need to start a running list of tangible items. So again, those items might be a huppah, they might be toasting flutes, they might be cake, knife, and server, it might be your great grandmother's handkerchief, it might be a picture of your father who is deceased.
It might be flowers, if you're doing that, vases, escort cards, place cards, a wine bottle decor that you're using for the table numbers, favors like succulents in this case, or things that you're going to pass out or use as thank you gifts to your guests. I don't know about you, Michelle, but I'm doing a lot of lawn games during cocktail hour, and those are a bitch to set up and they take a lot longer than they should. And so things like that, you can't just be like, oh, and then someone's bringing the, you know, giant Jenga set and we'll just put it on the lawn. Like, somebody has to set that up. So when you're looking at the list of items or the place in your house where all of these items are just getting thrown into a corner and you're figuring you're going to deal with them later, also consider what it's going to take once you're at the venue to physically set it up. Like escort cards, they take kind of a long time to set up perfectly. And these are the little cards that might be tented with people's names on them. If you have 300 of those, alphabetize them before your wedding day.
It's escort cards. Okay, so make a list of all that stuff, right? And then consider how long it'll take those to set up. And then consider the fact that these tangible items that you personally are bringing will not be set up at, you know, 4 o'clock when the vendors can first come in. They're going to be set up probably at 5:15. Right. Because they're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to set them up until linens are on the tables, tables are in place. So make a list of your vendors. And on that list of vendors, you need to put their individual timelines. How many hours do I have my photographer? At what time can the rental company deliver? This is a big one, you guys. So I have an example. The last wedding I did at this restaurant, they rented lighting. They had a huge lighting setup for dancing because they wanted a club feel. We had like the big four tall, you know, light trees in the corners of the room with these moving awesome lights. And that in and of itself took a whole crew, a whole team. And then they wanted the bistro lights, you know, strung across the courtyard.
That is like stressing me out just listening, knowing that you had 2 hours, a hard 2 hours to get that finished.
Correct. And so Kathy, I worked with Kathy Newby on this. She's like, okay, there's just no way that we can do these two separate spaces in 2 hours. So if this is what your client really wants, we have to send out two separate crews. We have to send out a lighting crew for the dance space, and we have to send out a lighting crew for the courtyard space. And the only way that we can get this done in these 2 hours is if these two crews work side by side right. at the same time. If I would have had a venue like yours where I had 6 hours, they could have saved money on labor and had one crew set up everything within those 6 hours, right? But in this instance, we had to have two lighting crews, and at the same time, my venue told me, hey, Michelle, we're going to have about 12 people working on the floor from our staff getting ready, so can you make sure your lighting crew is out of our way? And we'll stay out of their way. So they had to strategically talk in the beginning and say, okay, you guys start at this end, we'll mm-hmm. start at this end. And so in the reason I brought up the rental company is because we paid extra money in labor, A. B, they had to get permits from the city of San Francisco to sandbag and put up no parking signs in front of the restaurant at specific times so that they
the delivery
could park
trucks.
Right in
yeah.
front. And deliver and keep it parked there for the 2 hours. They had to keep their trucks there for 2 hours. So that was extra money. So when, depending on the venue you want, if there is a very short setup time, you're probably going to need to put a line item in your budget of additional money you're going to have to spend because of this short turnaround time.
Right. And that goes for things like this is very specific to an urban wedding with the parking permits and the like.
Yeah.
It's just a nightmare of traffic and it's so full over there in the city. But that it's still a short setup time, and a dedicated venue out in the middle of nowhere might also have you with a contracted short setup time, which is why right when you sign the contract, see about adding an hour or two, even if you have to pay for it, it'll be worth it. But also think about things
yes.
like I did a wedding at a venue out here that they were hanging. They were doing flowers on the tables, which was sort of easy and like just a typical quick centerpiece. But we were hanging 4 hoops from the rafters. And then those hoops were had a bunch of greenery on it. So we call them halos. And they were like these greenery halos that were over the dance floor. And they were really beautiful. But that requires six. The florist needs 6 people to set those up. So where she would come with two or three people,
two.
Yeah, max, this was you physically need that many people because there's 2 ladders and then 1 person on top of each ladder and then 1 person holding. They needed that and they knew they needed that to do it successfully and quickly. So it ended up being a little bit more in labor, like you said, just on the florist team alone. Because she's got 3 weddings that day and she's trying to figure out who's going to Fort Worth, who's going to Dallas, what time can we get there, who do we need? And it was better to have 6 people for 1 hour than 2 or 3 people for 3 hours. And that's something that vendors
yes.
are going to come to you potentially with kind of near the end of the planning process, which is just part of the deal. It's part of the job. You know, most of these vendors aren't working on just your wedding in a month. So we have to... Mm-hmm. You have to accept and kind of roll with a little bit some of these other circumstances. And a short setup time just makes that all a little more complicated. Totally doable. Totally
it's doable.
But
totally.
A little more complicated.
Yeah.
So you just have to be, you got to put on your type A hat and just really solve the problems.
Yeah.
There's so much to consider. And the bottom line with this setup and breakdown discussion is that you have to know what you're working with.
So you've got your list. You've got your list of your tangible items. You've got your list of your vendors and what they will do and at what time frame they have to do it in. Now is the time that you might want to consider reaching out to those friends who have poured to you and said, do you need any help? Christy, can I help you with anything? Like, seriously, I would love to help you. What about this? What about that? Guess what? It's 2 months before the wedding and you are now realizing that you need somebody to go and set up black foam core and it needs to be hot glue gunned and strategically placed in
right.
the dancing room. And that's something that falls outside of the parameters of your wedding coordinator because she is actually making sure everything is facilitated in those 2 hours and her assistant is doing your 183 mm-hmm. escort cards that haven't been alphabetized. And so now you have that person who has wanted to be there so much for you and help, you say, actually, I could use your help. Can you arrive at 3:45
right.
with my car full yeah. of boxes?
Right. Because a lot of times there's certain things that the venue coordinator won't do. And there's certain things that your wedding planner may not do. Like I will not be the one doing any AV stuff. Even if it's, I mean, if it's something really simple, like just plug this in and then it'll go on. But past that, it's not my wheelhouse, and I don't want to be the one that messes anything up or shorts a circuit. And to that end, I wanted to bring up that during this setup time, we're talking a lot about actual items. Michelle says tangible items that you're bringing. You got to load them in. You got to load them out. Somebody has to set those up. But we should also mention that during this time, this 3 hours or 2 hours before prelude music starts, certain things need to be done as well, like action-wise. You might be doing hair and makeup. If you're not doing it on site, you're doing it somewhere. So that, you know, you might have multiple timelines that are all going to kind of layer over each other.
Yeah, good point.
Also, I always do a sound check. So that has to be in
yes.
the timeline as well. And if you have an officiant coming, they need to be a part of that. So when is that going to happen? It has to be after the DJ gets everything set up, after the officiant arrives.
Can I interject with, you were talking about the sound check. The last couple weddings I've done at this venue, it's coincidental, have had to rent equipment for their DJs. One of them had a friend coming as a DJ, and one of them had this DJ, really cool DJ from LA, that all he does is bring his records.
Right.
And so we had to outsource to a sound production company to bring in all the equipment. And now that I've done this a couple times, I can tell you that you absolutely should pay the extra money to keep a sound tech on site with you.
Yes.
For at least until dinner is over.
I 100% agree.
But preferably into like the first hour of dancing. Because at one point the microphone went out and, you know, he showed me, but I couldn't figure out why on the first wedding. And then I had him stay longer on the second wedding. And there are levels, you know, like there's feedback. Some people talk louder than others.
They have to adjust it as it goes.
Yet fading out the music, all of these things for your Spotify playlist.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely makes sense to add a little $40-$50 extra an hour to keep your sound guy there and feed him dinner. Or her.
That's such a great point, because a lot of times that's the guy who comes to set it up. That's the tech. So
yeah.
He's already there. They probably already have him booked for 1 hour setup and then to come back for 1 hour of breakdown anyway.
Yeah.
So find out what it costs to have him there. If your DJ is not going to do this, a lot of times the DJ is the guy.
The sound guy.
That you would consider, oh my gosh, something happened. I need help. And that's definitely who I utilize all the time for help.
Okay. Sorry. I deviated from where we were, but I felt like that was a really important tip.
Well, that's the thing. There are a bunch of elements. There's the items you're bringing. There's the setup that physically needs to be done either by the venue or the rental company. And we're talking the basics, table and chairs. And then there's the
lighting.
Yeah, and lighting and the actual things that have to be done. All of this is kind of happening at the same time. And the goal mm-hmm. is that by the time the prelude music starts, all
yes.
of your vendors are gone or out of the way. And your wedding planner is very calmly and elegantly going to open up those doors. And your guests are going to slowly and steadily arrive. And the celebration starts.
And they're going to be like, oh, wow.
Oh, it's so beautiful. What a transformation.
Oh, my God. Look at this. Look at those. Oh, hi. Where do we go from here? There's cocktails being served in the gallery.
Yes, excellent. And then a beautiful whirlwind of wedding happens. And in 5 hours-ish,
it's done.
It's done. And those items that you brought, those have to be put back in a car or a hotel room. And the vendors are all going to come back and get their shit and go. Maybe the florist is going to leave everything because she doesn't care if the flowers get taken by guests. The DJ will want those lights on as fast as possible so he can start unplugging and getting his equipment out.
So will the banquet staff.
Yeah, banquet staff, they never move as fast as they do with breakdown. It is like,
yep.
it is a machine because everybody knows they're on, you know, they
they're on an hourly wage and their bosses don't want to pay them overtime. It's like,
and they're tired. They want to go home.
And they're hungry and they want that extra cake and they want to take that vase of flowers and go home. So it happens really quickly. The tables are being cleared. The trashes are being taken out and the venue is being swept up kind of all at the same time. And it works. It works well because there's people aren't as careful. You're not all those escort cards. They don't need to be put back in little baggies alphabetically. If there's any extra, you're sweeping them into. I mean, I like to give my guests things back. But I'm sweeping them into a bag and putting them in a box and trying to keep things fairly organized. But it's definitely not the same ordeal as setup. And it generally happens in an hour.
Let's go back to that list of tangible items now. And let's have a second version of that list. That's it's called end of the night.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff has been given away to guests. What can be given away? Is the florist bringing vases or some sort of vessel for your centerpieces that are considered rental items and they need to be returned to that florist? Or are they some cute little mason jars that can be, the florist is like, dude, give them away to your guests. Yeah. Just give them away. How about the shot glasses that you bought special and now they need to be given to guests as favors, but they're not taking them.
And you have 30 of them left over. Yeah.
Uh-oh, we need boxes to box those back up. Because this venue cannot hold stuff for you until Monday. Guess what? You have to take it all tonight. How is that going to happen? Did you plan for that? Because are you going to call an Uber?
This is another huge, huge reason to have a wedding planner. The breakdown, yep. No guest, your sister, your mom, your bridesmaids, they do not want to stay for this and do it.
They're drunk.
And so often I go to weddings and I'm talking when I'm a guest and I can see that the break, like, it's over and nobody is taking the stuff off the tables. Like as a planner, yeah. This is a huge part of our job. But as just a wedding guest, I'll look around and be like, oh my God, they don't have anybody. The venue staff is just going to throw all of this away. Like they don't have time to figure out if this was, you know, something that you wanted back or not. So if it is something you want back, you need to have a list and a plan. And I start doing that kind of well before the wedding ends. You know, your cards,
so
your gifts,
schedule.
The veil you took off, the top of your cake, your antique wedding topper, your cake knife and server that are heirlooms. You don't want that stuff to get lost in the mix. You want that back in your hotel room or in the trunk of your mom's car or whatever the plan is for it. And sometimes you might have to also take things that you need to give back. Like I pull linens off and I'm responsible for sending those linens back if I've ordered them from a national company. The caterer is not going to deal with that because they're not their linens. And then also like the cake, you might have gotten a cake stand with your cake. She's not going to come back at midnight just for a stand. Likely she will have included it in her cake contract that you have to return the stand within a week. So you don't want to lose that stand because she's going to charge you if you don't bring it back within a week. So the most simple way to do this is just to keep a list of end of night items. And next to the item itself, you put a name of who is confirmed as someone that's going to take care of that item. Otherwise, the last hour of your own wedding is going to be spent cleaning up stuff off of tables. And you're not going to want to do that if you're the bride.
And if you are paying overtime to have your last dance end at midnight or 1 a.m., you're also going to need to pay overtime to your rental company who has to come back that night and have everything out of there within an hour after the lights go up. So if your last dance is at midnight because you know your friends want to party, oh, no, my friends, that's how we are. We party. We're going to be up late. We're going to party. This is going to be an all-nighter. Then you need to be prepared to pay extra for the rental company to come back at midnight or 1 a.m., for the lighting company crew to come back at midnight or 1 a.m., for your florist to come back at midnight or 1 a.m., because nothing can be stored overnight at your
that
venue. Unless it's a big hotel and they have space and they have a banquet staff. And you know what I mean? There's different scenarios.
That's definitely something to think about before you book your venue. If you have a crew that every wedding that you and your friends go to, you guys tear it down and you party until 2 a.m., find a venue that fits that plan, not just aesthetically, yes, not just with like a kick-ass ballroom and this great like mirrored bar that's so sexy and hot in the corner and all your friends are going to love it. Also someplace that lets you deliver items the day before and that lets you just leave at the end of the night and come back the next morning and,
yes,
and get it, your, you know, get all of your stuff. You know, and that has a sound ordinance that lets you go until 2 a.m. and isn't going to throw any surprises at you later about this late night plan. So there are venues, yeah, that work with that, and there are venues that you're going to have to kind of fight all the way. And there's no point. If you know that's what kind of wedding you have, then find a venue that suits that plan.
And or find an after party place and a meeting time. Yeah.
But still, you got to do something with all that stuff. So setup and breakdown needs to be a part of your planning from the very beginning, at least on the peripheral. You know, obviously there's more important things that you need to be thinking about right when you get engaged. But once you start, yeah, digging in, just don't forget setup and breakdown.
Very good.
All right.
And that's all I have to say about that.
That's a lot. Hit us up with any questions you have, any specifics, any like problem you need to work out. So we're on Twitter at TBWP podcast. You can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. We are on Facebook, and tell your friends and leave reviews.
Okay, cool. Cool, cool. I hope that was helpful to you guys. It sure made me think a lot. A
lot of thinking happening here in the closet.
A lot of thinking in the closet. All right. Well, to all you listening, happy planning. We're happy to be here for you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.